You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Why were you yelling at me, Dana?
Shut up, Sam.
We will never forget.
Oh, we will never forget the dust.
Things have calmed down.
Shame on you. It was loud. I was at a construction site wearing a construction hat, Sam, if you must know.
In case you missed it, the Embassy Suites on the Plaza imploded over the weekend.
It was a big ass boom.
It fell down into marble, concrete, rebar, and we can't forget the dust.
Did you guys know that right before they imploded that thing, it's been a few weeks, they sold everything inside of it. Mm-hmm. Did you see that estate sale? They sold everything and the kitchen sinks.
Right.
I mean, light fixtures, carpet, beds.
Some light fixtures that were 14 feet tall.
Yeah. I mean, I did bid on one that looked great. And then I noticed, oh my God, it's 14 feet tall because it was on the exterior of the Embassy Suite.
Yeah.
That looked great in my kitchen. We couldn't fit it through the door.
So you didn't learn the lesson?
I did not. Well, this was before.
Your creamsicle?
But I'll tell you this.
Fountain?
You could get some really cool stuff. Fountains were on the list, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, literally think of anything in any hotel.
Outlets, everything.
Wall stuff. 480,000 alarm clocks in every single room, televisions, industrial kitchen stuff. And then my guess is everything that didn't sell went up in dust during that implosion over the weekend. All right. So, Dan, I want you to stick around for the beginning of this conversation.
Okay.
The documentary is called Shipwrecked. It is on Netflix. I would watch it twice. It is that good if you are interested in the psychology of human behavior in a disaster. This was the true story in 2012. Thousands of people are on this gigantic 12-story cruise ship, the biggest cruise ship ever, like huge cruise ship, right?
This is the one that went over on its side.
It went over, well, yeah.
Slowly.
Slowly.
Very slowly.
It struck a boulder, just like Titanic, okay? They knew it had struck a boulder. And when it ran aground, it was a 179-foot gash in the ship's port side. Because there was a trial that came out of this, they have the black box. They have the transcripts. They have the audio from the engineers saying to the captain, there is water, the ocean is gushing into this ship. And the captain says, well, how bad is it? Like, you think there's going to be someone in charge who is going to say, all right, start getting the lifeboats ready. That is not what happened here. What happened here was a series of lies to everyone on board. It's an electrical issue. We're working on it. Coast Guard.
No panic. Don't panic.
Don't panic because you don't want mass panic, Dan.
No, you do not.
And you hear them saying to other staff members, go back and entertain them in the entertainment stage.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the dancers says, are you insane? I quit. This ship is going down. And everyone is acting like, keep serving drinks. Let's not act like this. There's anything wrong here.
Nothing to see here.
One of the reasons I want to talk about this with a ship that size, okay, is that there were people that knew immediately something was wrong. And then there were other people that were like, is the ship tilting a little bit?
And then it's hard to believe
it is.
If you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, like, and if you weren't right by it, then you have, just like in Titanic, dishes start to fall off, boiling water in the kitchen falls. You know, everything is now tilting. And you would think there would be someone in charge that would say, here's what we're going to do.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, it is a cruise ship, but, you know, the crew and the captain, they're supposed to act like a quote-unquote Navy, you know, and actually do the right thing on the high seas. You know, this happened because they deviated from their route to do what they call a sail-by salute.
Yeah, they never should have done it. They sailed by and right into
they're trying to do a close pass, and they gashed their hull.
So if you look this up, there's this phenomenon, and I'm obsessed by the thought of this. It's called authority bias or expert dependence. Where there's going to be some of you listening right now that you're going to think, oh, hell, if that happened to me, I'm grabbing my life jacket and I'm getting out. I'm not waiting for someone to tell me what to do. What you see through all of the different cell phone videos and vantage points of what happened that night is people, by and large, standing around just waiting for someone to give them direction that does not come. And I will tell you, even though everyone on board this ship had seen the movie Titanic, you would think, like, we know how this is going to end, people. We need to get to the lifeboats. It's harder than you think when there's no one in charge telling you this is what you do. And we can even look back, you guys. Remember during 9/11, they kept coming over the loudspeaker saying, stay where you are. You are safer inside the building than you are going out. And for some people, that was absolutely true.
Well, it made sense because you're not thinking that this is an attack.
That the building is going to collapse.
It's a terrible crash that has happened. So everybody,
but Dan,
calm.
We know this. The people that got up and said, I'm getting out. Those were the people that got out early. By and large, those people survived. And so whether you are a cruise person or like, that's not why I'm telling you to watch this. I'm telling you to watch this to look at the human behavior and then ask yourself, if this were me, what would I do? Because what ends up happening in cases like this is that everyone puts the life jacket on. They all run to the same side of the ship. And then as this thing starts listing, guess what? There is mass panic to get on those boats. And I kept saying the exact same thing that Sam said before we went to break. I would have gotten my life jacket on, gone to as close to the edge of the water as I could get, jumped in, and just started paddling away from that boat.
And by the way, to the people on the text line who are saying you're spoiling the entire movie, these are real events.
Oh, it happened in 2012, you guys.
We all followed this when it happened.
I will tell you this. I went down a rabbit hole last night with the trial and all of that. I'm not going to get into all of that if you want that to be a surprise. Watch this for the human behavior and ask yourself.
I'm jumping.
Would I save myself or would I stand around waiting for someone with a name tag on to tell me this is what you need to do?
Because and that's the sticky
you don't have time in a situation like this to sit around and wait.
Well, the thing is that's the problem is that you are on this cruise ship as a passenger. You are not a maritime sailing expert. And so you are going to be looking for the person in the uniform with the name tag and the gold on their shoulders to tell you what to do. That is their role and responsibility to protect the passengers on board the craft.
Dan, in an emergency,
and it was terrible leadership, apparently, from top to bottom.
In an emergency, what percentage of people are actually going to do what they're trained to do? I would say law enforcement. We've seen it time and time again. When you know what goes down and the law enforcement officers or the firefighters, they run in. Their training kicks in and they run in.
Right. Depending on which situation you're talking about.
Right. Because like on a cruise, right, Dan, or something of that nature, 99 million percents of the time, you don't have to practice this stuff because nothing like this is going to happen. Then when it does, maybe we should have paid attention.
But, I mean, as a crew member, their job is not mass crowd control. Their job is to know what to do to try to survive a maritime disaster. And, yeah, they would probably cave.
Oh, yeah. The chefs, the bartenders. Are you kidding me?
Once that thing hits a 90-degree angle from where it should be, and that's not upright, we're now not, you know, laying on our side in the water. Y'all obviously don't know how to do maritime stuff pretty well either. Yeah, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump and start swimming.
But right. Sam, if you had to jump, you realize like at some point we're talking six stories. If you've never been next to a docked cruise ship, they're gigantic buildings.
Been on a cruise ship, yeah.
They're gigantic buildings.
Make like a pencil and dive, baby.
And even laying on its side, because you're now walking on the bulkheads inside the ship, the walls, you're walking on those, and you're going to be 20, 30, 40, 60, 80 feet up.
They have a story in this documentary about a man who's walking on the walls, and it does not end well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, a splat, it's better than drowning, so I'll take it.
913, put your life jacket on, people. 913-586-7798. Phones are ordered. We'll take a couple of calls on this here as we wrap up the hour on Dana and Parks. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. A lot of you, some of you on the text line, Shane was going to call in, but there's a lot of wind noise in the background. A lot of you say, I'm just going to jump. What if you're there with your elderly mother or a five-year-old?
Now, you had mentioned one family had an 18-month-old with them.
Please explain to me why anyone takes an 18-month-old on a cruise. I can't. I don't have an answer for you there, Sam.
But if the idea, and granted, thankfully, 32 people, only 32 people perished in this event, and there were 4,000 on board. But if this were a Titanic-level situation, and your only option is to jump into the water or not, there are ways that you can jump with that 18-month-old to where they would survive the fall. There are ways that you can jump to where you would survive the fall.
I wouldn't know that. How are you supposed to know that? Like, in that moment, like, when you're looking down, and it's pitch dark. Remember, it's pitch dark. It's freezing. This was in January, I think.
Like, I guess I'm the weird kid that looked into that stuff because I had access to the internet. But yeah, I definitely researched at a young age
how to jump.
If I had to fall into water from a very high point, how do I not die?
You are the weirdest human being I've ever worked with.
By the way, it's soft knees and clench. Those are the two. Be vertical, have soft knees, and clench. Those are the things that you need to do.
The other thing is, I think most people think I would be a gentleman. I would be, you know, I would be there trying to maintain order. When you have 4,000 people trying to leave a space at the same time, let me tell you what kicks in, and it's fight in the fight or flight.
Oh, from the text line, I was a U.S. Navy sailor. I'm telling you right now, if I was on that boat, me nor anyone I was with is waiting for a single command.
Nope.
We're jumping. We're going.
So listen to this. The disaster reveals that waiting for direction from authority during a crisis can be fatal. Passengers who trusted official reassurances, lies. I mean, basically, if we're being honest, these were lies. Passengers who trusted official reassurances and waited for a formal evacuation order experienced delayed escape, while those who recognized the ship's listing and acted independently had a higher chance of survival.
Now, I find it interesting, and granted, it was in a court in a different country, but I do find the charges interesting. Because we have officials that lie all the time for the sake of avoiding mass mayhem, right?
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes, but I'll tell you this, Sam, and I'm not going to spoil if you want to watch it later and you don't remember this story. It was massive headlines because the reason authorities started taking what was happening seriously is because passengers started calling 911.
Right.
And they're like,
the captain was saying,
they're not telling us what's going on, but plates are falling off the walls. And one woman says, what should we do? Says to a 911 dispatcher, what should we do? We don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so they do start sending kind of people that way. And then they're like, oh my God, the damn thing's 45 degrees tilted, right?
I find the whole thing very interesting. And he's a boat captain. And yes, he lied to avoid disaster among the people on the ship. Why doesn't that apply in other situations?
Well, I'll tell you this. Maritime law is different, and there are certain rules within the maritime legal world that are very different than when you do something wrong on the ground. Like, they take it incredibly seriously.
I also learned in reading about this story that Italy only has a 2-year appeal process, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do we get one of those?
This was Italy.
Instead of this whole, we're going to appeal every 2 years for the next 75.
Yeah. It was swift. Yeah. Anyway, watch it for human psychology. I don't even have to repeat to you for everyone, what's it called? Pull up Netflix. It is like the number one most watched movie on Netflix.
It's in the
right
top
now.
10 right now, yeah.
913-586-7798.
I have a run, do not walk, since we're talking about
lay it on me.
Maritime things adjacent. It's on Apple TV. It's called Widow's Bay.
Oh, yeah.
If you are deathly afraid of anything horror, I would not watch it. It does have some scary parts.
Wait, is it scary or funny?
It's comedy horror. So it's like, it shows you the scary thing, and then a character says something really funny.
Okay.
Kind of a thing.
I love it.
So if you don't do jump scares well, the jump scare might get you. But if you can get past that jump scare and get to the funny part, It's absolutely a run, do not walk. Absolutely hilarious. It's about an island that they think is cursed. And I don't want to spoil it for you because this wasn't, you know, this isn't a real story.
I love the main actor in it. The main actor, I think, plays the mayor because I've seen the trailer.
Yes, and his facial expressions are absolutely priceless in all of the situations that he gets himself into and what you learn about the town.
How many are there? Episodes?
It is one season so far.
Seven or eight.
I'm sure there's going to be more. The number of episodes, something's going to tell me here soon. I'm clicking. 10 episodes.
Okay.
There you go.
10 is a lot, but I am not saying no.
And we're only a month out from its release of the 10th episode, so.
Okay.
Check it out. Apple TV.
Apple TV.
Widow's Bay.
I'm 1-3-5-8-6-7-7-9-8. When we get back, the Pentagon has released a new batch of UFO files.
From the Hey, Look Over There file.
No, I want you to hear about this because I always believe the pilots. I always believe the pilots. I don't believe the politicians, but the pilots, when they see something up there, I'm listening. We'll tell you about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Hey guys, a backpack is more than just a backpack, and Foster Adopt Connect helps kids in foster care and the families who care for them navigate one of the toughest journeys a child can face. It's more than paperwork, it's trauma-informed support, community advocacy, and real help when it's needed the most. That's why KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are proud to partner with Foster Adopt Connect's school supply drive. Just go to KMBZ.com. A new backpack is just the beginning, and you can learn more if you click on the school supply link. KMBZ.com, click on the school supply link. You can make a monetary donation there to sponsor a backpack, or you can drop off brand new school supplies at one of three locations. All of the details at KMBZ.com. Just click on the school supplies link.
So over the weekend, speaking of human behavior, we ran to the store, just quick grocery store, in and out in, I don't know, 20 minutes. And we were looking for a parking spot. And you know, at a lot of grocery stores right up front, they have veterans parking. They, of course, have handicapped parking. And then they have expectant mother parking.
Very common these days.
Yeah, very common. Yeah. And it, you know, we had gone around a couple of times trying to find a place to park. Place was packed. And I noticed this car in front of us, also looking for a spot, pulled into the expectant mother parking. We then turn right and park sort of opposite her in a normal space, you know, 40 feet away or whatever. So we get out of the car and we're walking, and I hear Johnny laughing. And he's kind of pointing to this woman, and I go, stop it. I don't know what he was saying. I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, she just parked in the expectant mother parking. And I look over, and sure enough, the woman that had exited this car and was now walking into the store in front of us.
Right.
Might have been expecting at some point, like when President Ford was in office.
Oh. Don Lemon would say she was past her prime. Is that what you're saying?
You know, she was past her childbearing years.
The oven had been turned
by
off.
By several decades.
Okay.
I mean, period. Right. Let's say she was between 65 and 70. Did not appear to be in the greatest health. But she's now walking in front of us. And then I'm laughing because this woman clearly is not expecting. Maybe she was expecting a call from her mother. I don't. Maybe she thought expectant mother. I am expecting to chat
see
with my mother if she's even still living, because this woman was old enough that I don't even know that her mother's still living.
Wow.
And I said, like, honestly, if you parked in a veteran's parking spot, it's not illegal,
right?
But it's morally and ethically reprehensible. And
Definitely you got caught.
You like might get a fist to the face. And I'm not saying that's okay, but like you start stealing valor, even with parking spots, it's over. The expectant mother parking, like there were plenty of spaces way further back.
Do we need all of these dedicated parking spaces?
Let me tell you what I said to him right before, because we passed that open space.
Can I guess what you said?
Yes.
They didn't have that when I was pumping out,
That
kids.
Is exactly what I said.
I walked.
I said, Could we just have a discussion about the and this is before the woman pulled in and I got a photo of it. And I put it on social. I'm like, do you guys abuse the open spot if you're not expecting? I did say, you know, back in the day, my kids are now in their mid to upper 20s. I said, we didn't even have expectant mother parking. Like when you'd go to the OBGYN's office, crowning with child. Like,
no, you just had to hoof
you
it.
You just parked where you did and hauled your toddlers in and you hoofed it. And I think more people than you think will park in the expectant mother parking because of that thinking. They didn't have this when I was, I'm taking this spot in a way that you would never park in the saved for veterans parking. Am I wrong?
I know a number of veterans who would never park in the saved for veterans parking. That they say I didn't do it for a parking space.
Right.
Why?
But if someone is going to use it, it should be for a veteran.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that we kind of overdo it in the first place.
Like, you don't think we should have them?
I think we overdo it, especially since the pandemic and all of the order online and we'll bring it out to you spots.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big box store. That logo might be a bullseye.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. The first, like 20 spaces are for we're bringing it out to you. I've never seen a car parked in those spots.
I know people who park in those spots all the time to go into the store because they're not going to tow me in the amount of time that I'm inside this store.
Can I be honest? I've never seen anyone pull into one of those spots and have stuff brought. Like, there's just 20 to 30 not being used parking spaces.
But I mean, between handicap, which obviously we need a certain number of handicaps parking spaces for each business, there is no argument.
Yes, and that's
that.
Illegal.
Between handicap, senior parking, I've seen expected mother parking, veteran, Purple Heart, pickup only spots. Now EV spots.
Okay.
If you're just a regular Joe Schmo driving a car, you might as well just leave your car at home and walk because you're already a mile away driving to the parking lot.
I have on two occasions, once at Town Center and once at a restaurant, parked in the EV spot because I have an EV. And in both cases, there were multiple EV spots. Now, did I need to charge my car at that specific moment? I did not. But I at least have the EV and I use the spot. And I felt guilty about it. I thought, oh, I shouldn't probably be doing this, but
I parked in, I think I know exactly which spots you're talking about if they're in front of a Mexican restaurant. If I go to that restaurant and the parking lot is full, except for those spaces, because they happen to be the closest to the front of the store, I park in them.
You drive a truck.
So?
Oh, now see, I don't think you
what
should
gives
be
a, you a right to a no, random
no, no,
parking
no, no.
space.
Because I'm helping save the environment.
No, you're not.
Yes,
you
am.
You do not want to start this conversation
well,
with
I'm just
me
telling
at 540.
You. Is there a you can park up close because you drive a big tall pickup truck parking space? There
no,
is not.
There's parking spaces for vehicles.
And if there was, Sam, I wouldn't park in it because I don't drive a
you
tall pickup truck. I do.
They sell gas.
I do, but do you know what I get at my Quick Trip? I get my coffee.
Well, phones ring. Gas.
I think it's frowned upon. I think it's frowned upon behavior, except if you're not a veteran and you park in the veteran spot. Then I think that's a bridge too far. I would prefer you not take the EV spots if I need to charge. But expectant mother, you should probably leave it for the expectant mother. I mean, honestly, you should. But this grandma was like, nope, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. Let's go to Stephen in Olathe. Hey, Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I get the expectant mother, and these are the expectant mothers that are in their third trimester, and they shouldn't be walking, you know, a mile away from the place that they're trying to...
Yes, really pregnant, as I call it, Stephen.
Right, and then I get the handicap spot, but even with the handicap spot, the handicappies, they are fighting, saying, oh, you're not handicapped enough to stay in this spot. But like everything else, it needs to go. The veterans, when I see the veteran spot, I imagine the 103-year-old guy that is being honored at the State of the Union address. And it's just not that case. And... with the curbside pickup, that should be at the curb, not in the parking lot. That it's curbside pickup, not parking lot side pickup. So I don't know. I am never going to be special enough to be able to park in any of those spots, though. So,
Stephen, what if they come up with a Stephen in Olathe parking only?
That would amaze me. I would feel so privileged, and I would park there every single time. But you know what? I have never parked my EV at a gas pump, Dana.
Okay, I do not ever park at a gas pump.
Oh, or do you sometimes and just deny it later?
No, I promise you I don't, Stephen, and here's why. Remember people went really crazy about a year ago, like with the whole Elon Musk thing?
Uh-huh.
And I bought my car like 2 years before he went crazy. This is not political. I just like the car.
It's getting political.
My son worked at Tesla. Like, why are you flipping me off in traffic? I would not park at a gas pump. Number one, because there's all kinds of parking at Quick Trip when I go to get my coffee. And number two, I don't want to invite crazy people to either damage my car or scream at me. Like, I'm pretty under the radar when it comes to that stuff. I would never, ever take a gas pump. Because why would I park at a gas pump to walk in and get coffee? I park on the side and go directly into that side door where the coffee is located.
People do it if the spots are full, for sure. I don't know. I will proudly park in an EV spot.
But not expectant mother or not.
I will never park in an expectant mother, handicap, veteran, Purple Heart, any of those. I think it's overdone. And to Stephen's point, I think there's too many of them.
Yeah.
But I would not go against it.
But EV, you're like, that's okay.
Well, most of the time, and I completely agree with this, if the EV spots are in the back, like they are at the grocery store over here in Mission,
yeah,
like they are at most places that you go to, obviously I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to park at the back of the lot just for fun. But if you take up the front 8 parking spaces because you have a special car that they convinced you is environmentally friendly, no, I'm parking there. Sorry. I'm good.
913-586-7798. You're a horrible human being. We're back with more after this. Is it all right, Sam? The Pentagon has released a new batch of UFO files. Quote, unlike anything I've ever seen, from CBS News. The Pentagon on Friday released a new batch of files related to UFOs, also known as unidentified anomalous phenomena.
UAP.
Including one report from a military aviator who said a mysterious object was, quote, unlike anything I have ever seen in 28 years of service.
Is that the odd blob?
Yep. Friday's release included a total of 40 files, 14 documents, 19 videos, 4 audio files, and 3 images. The files come from a variety of agencies: Pentagon, NASA, CIA, FBI, and the Energy Department. The Pentagon posted the new files on its UFO website, which houses the material that started its release under this executive order earlier this year. The disclosure this time is similar to past releases and is said to be a mix of mostly unredacted historical documents and videos with other files detailing more recent events. And one notable file from the Energy Department details an intrusion by an unidentified object into the airspace over a nuclear weapons facility known as Pantex near Amarillo. It happened in September of 2015. The document includes the account of 2 officers who chased the object as the nuclear facility was placed on lockdown. Although they were unable to catch up to the object, they stopped their vehicle and got out. Once outside, they noted that the object did not make a sound. Furthermore, the officers stated that they were unable to identify any type of propulsion system on the object while using binoculars to assess what it may have been.
It's just hovering in midair with no signs of no propellers, nothing?
After viewing it for 1 to 2 minutes, the object then continued north off-site. About half of the files are dated from 2010 or later, with videos showing infrared footage captured by military cameras, unexplained objects, encounters from around the world, including over the Western Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic, and the Middle East. And one of those incidents occurred over the Atlantic in 2020. The files include footage of an object that was, quote, a darker maroonish color, approximately 12 to 15 feet in height, according to an accompanying report by a Navy crew member, which is heavily redacted. Listen to this. Structurally, they reported, it appeared as a large, somewhat deformed balloon. But we were unable to verify that as we passed at the merge. Then two lines are redacted. We then proceeded back to the ship, landing uneventfully. The report is known as a Range Fowler debrief, which the Pentagon described as standardized reporting from the U.S. Navy when they record circumstances surrounding an unauthorized, quote, intrusion into controlled airspace during their training. The other debrief documented is an object that an aviator saw in 2019 over the eastern United States along with four other military personnel. Quoting here, I noticed an object with flight characteristics unlike anything I have seen in my 28 years of performing for the Air Force and Navy. A small object was below us and appeared to be traveling in a straight line opposite our direction at high speed. I tracked it for 10 to 15 seconds before we turned on the recorder to provide the attached video. When I zoomed in to try and achieve more resolution, the object's speed took out of my field of vision and I was unable to reacquire even at a lower zoom. Upon analysis, the object appeared to be rectangular. Others with equal or more experience were also unsure as to what this object might be. And there's video of the incident that shows what appears to be the object traveling at a very high rate of speed. I mean,
you
I don't
buy
know.
Any of it?
I do. I never believe a politician. I almost always believe our pilots.
Why are they releasing it now, though?
I don't know, Sam.
Very interesting to me.
If you had said, you know, 2 weeks ago, four or five naval officers with a combined 150 years experience saw this and they all reported it. And here's what they said.
I thought we already knew that.
I think most Americans, like 99% of Americans would say, I believe the military personnel saying they saw this. Why would you lie about that? Now, as to why this is being released now or like the political arm of it, I don't believe anything.
I call it the, hey, look over there file.
It could be. It could be. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
It is interesting that it all got released on Friday after the, whatever they called it, the understanding.
We're not going to go there.
I don't know.
We're not going to go there.
Came to an end.
You know why? Today is Gruntled Workers Day, and if we go there, I'll be gruntled. Today
I think
is
that would be disgruntled.
The perfect optimistic antidote to workplace dissatisfaction. It recognizes and celebrates employees who genuinely love and feel satisfied with their jobs. Be gruntled. Choose today to be gruntled.
Amen.
Have a great night, everybody. Be safe. Be good. We are back here tomorrow.
Get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Just make sure to like, subscribe, and download. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.